My name is Caitlin Wheeler, a student at West Liberty University, and I am sitting down or Zoom chatting with Mr. Leilani Barrett, a voice actor in around the Cleveland area and many other areas as well. So how are you doing, Mr. Barrett?
I am doing well. I'm here in my booth in an undisclosed location somewhere in Northeast Ohio.
Well, we're going to chat about, for me personally, I am very interested in the voiceover industry and or, you know, like podcasts and radio. And I would just like to know, like, your perspective on the industry and how did you kind of, like, make your way or did it just kind of, like, come to you? So we're going to go right down into some questions with the very obvious one. How did you get into voice acting?
Well, ever since I was a child, I knew that I wanted to be specifically a voice actor. Like ever since I was a kid, because when I was a little kid, they had a toy called a Mr. Microphone. And my parents got me one because I was like, oh, I want to be like the announcer guy. I used to watch commercials and I would hear the guy talking. I'd be like, oh, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like the announcer guy. And there was an actor named Ricardo Montalban, who I loved. He used to do these Chrysler commercials. And he had a very, you know, very smooth, very suave Mexican accent. And he said, you two can own the Chrysler LeBaron Coupe for only 3.9 from your Chrysler dealer. And I was like, I want to be that guy. He was also the host of Fantasy Island. I am your host, Mr. O'Rourke, and welcome to Fantasy Island. And I was like, I want to be that guy. And then he was in one of my favorite movies of all time, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, where he played Khan. And so I'm a big, like, Trekkie and I love that kind of stuff. So I was like, oh, I want to totally do that. And I watched a lot of cartoons. And watching a lot of cartoons, I was always moved by voice acting. So I've been in performing arts ever since I was a very little kid. I started out in a theater. Actually, I started in like elementary school plays and whatnot. But then one of my first big theatrical training experiences, I was 8 years old. And there was a place in Cleveland, actually in Richmond Heights, it doesn't exist anymore. It was a theater called the Front Row Theater. Absolutely amazing place. It was a theater in the round, like they had a stage that would turn. So there was never a bad seat in the house and it was awesome. So you would watch this show wherever you were sitting and the performers would turn. And I, you know, from ever since I was little, like I've always known that, you know, voice acting was the thing I wanted to do, but I'm, you know, voiceover and voiceover itself is just interesting is that voiceover and voice acting, there really is no huge difference because it's still acting. A lot of people think, oh, it's just the sound of your voice or it's like, you know, oh, you have a deep voice. You could do voiceover. And I'm like, well, it's more than that. It's you have to be a performing artist. You have to be a good actor. And so I started training and acting when I was very young. Then I eventually made my way after, you know, doing workshops and whatnot. And I would eventually made my way to Cleveland School of the Arts, where I graduated from Cleveland School of the Arts. And then I went to Ohio State University. All the time I've continued performing, continued acting, continued doing Shakespeare. I loved doing Shakespeare. I loved doing musicals, regular plays, you name it. I wanted to do it. So how did I get into voice acting? It started as a passion when I was a child. I actually didn't bring him in here with me, but I was going to bring in one of my favorite toys, which is I have a big, gigantic Optimus Prime that's about this big. And because Peter Cullen and, you know, is one of my heroes. Really quickly, it's really interesting. Like where other kids were like running around and they were like, you know, all about different athletes and, you know, they could tell you all the stats of like this basketball player or that baseball player, this football player. I would watch cartoons and I would learn the names of the people who were in the credits. And you know, so like Peter Cullen, Michael Bell, Jack Angel, Susan Blue, BJ Ward. These were all of my heroes. Rob Paulson, Maurice LaMarche.
Rob Paulson.
Right. So, you know, meeting all these different people and, you know, was like a kind of a dream for me, but working with them, you know, Kevin Michael Richardson is another one. Keith David, Broadway actor, did August Wilson work. I mean, just amazing. You know, if you've seen Caroline, he's the cat in Caroline. Keith David is Dr. Facilier in The Princess and the Frog. You know, he's fantastic. Just amazing performer. And so these are my heroes. When I think about these actors and how amazing they are. In fact, the entire cast of Star Trek The Next Generation was the cast of Gargoyles, Disney's Gargoyles. But
oh,
I mean,
goodness.
Going all
That's
the way
beyond
back,
my
there's
time.
A woman named June Foray, who was a amazing voice actor. I mean, Mel Blanc, who did the mm-hmm. voice of Bugs Bunny and all, like, he's the man of 1,000 voices, what he, you know, titled himself. Just incredible. And then, you know, I forgot Frank Welker. I can't leave him out because he's, you know, amazing. So yeah, that's how I got into voice acting.
Well, it's funny that
Short
you
story.
Say that.
Short story.
Like my sister, she actually she's attending Cleveland School of the Arts right now, and my other sister is in the school next door at John Hayes. it's really funny, and these like voice actors and voiceover artists, they are my heroes as well. I mean, I always paid attention to the voices. That's how I would know. Like I've heard that voice before, but I would never know that person's name because I can never read the credits fast enough. Like I love all these people, like Rob Paulsen. I even tried to get in contact with Cree Summer. She's one of my favorites.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I love her.
Cree Summer. Yes, she's incredible.
And like just voice acting in general. I love cartoons as well. Like no one can beat me in cartoons, and unless it's like before my time, but. Like SpongeBob, I don't know. I would just like mock all the voices, even though it's far from it. Just try and like get into that character. Like apparently my parents and my siblings, they call me Squidward because I'm just so like, I'm very focused and sometimes I can get grouchy. So I often quote Squidward lines from SpongeBob and like I just love just like copying commercials and voices. Like, that SC Johnson commercial, I would say like SC Johnson, a family company. Like my voice could just tone down really quick. And it was like, that's you? Oh my goodness. I just copied the voice. I really didn't do much. So acting is the thing that I kind of need to get over, I guess, because it's out of my comfort zone. I've never acted in my life. I can just copy people. But I'm really interested in voiceover because a lot of people said you have a really nice voice and you should try and like do some of this stuff. Well, I'm like, I don't really act, so I don't know. But I'm just a little apprehensive of acting because it's just... it's so out of my character, I guess. I'm very...
Well, all right. So here, think about this. Acting is... when you break down most techniques, I'll just say most techniques, it really all comes down to, you know, what do you want? Why do you want it? You know, what happens if you don't get it? You know, those are all like, you know, Stanislavski talked about the magic if. Like, oh, what if? But the interesting thing is when it comes to... We actually, there are tools in acting that you use. There are tactics that you use all the time. For example, attitude. If you go to your parents and you say, "Mother, oh, dear, sweet mother, beautiful light of the soul, how I just adore you. You're the best mom ever. Can I have $5? Right? She's going to go, wait a minute. Right? But if you walk to your mom and you went, "Ma, can I get $5? She'd be like, "No, and I'm on sock." So we all have... throughout life, then figuring out exactly, you know, different tactics. Now, what you learn in acting training is just different ways to access that, and also like different ways to it's like problem solving, different ways to approach a certain problem. Because every time that you try something, the person across from you, if they're playing with you, if they're really playing with you, it's like, you know, you playing tennis, you know, and you're like, knock it over to them, and then they knock it back to you, and then you knock it over to them, and they knock it back to you, and you keep trying, like finding different ways to get in. And that's, you know, it's all a game. That's why they call it a play, you know, because you're just playing. And that's what I love about acting. And I tell my students all the time, I say, when you really skilled at it, you know, find something you love to do, become highly skilled at it. And when when you get that money, people will pay you for it. Find something you love to do, become highly skilled at it, and then people will pay you for it. You love to do, I love that you know, I watched your video on Instagram of you doing your anchor.
Oh.
Fantastic.
My WLUT V14. Oh, goodness.
I'm good. I was like, cat-like reflexes.
Oh,
no, I did. I watched it because I had, you know, I was like, all right, well, let me find out who this young lady is, what she's doing. And one of the things I, you know, it's kind of like funny because you asked me, do I have any experience in radio or television broadcast? I actually don't have experience in radio in the sense of like I was a DJ or a host. Mm-hmm. My first, foray into that was doing the morning announcements at my school. So I would, you know, good morning, school, you know, CSA, this is Leilani, and I'm going to start, you know, give you the news. Right. And that's how it started. In terms of television, actual like hosting, I used to host a TV show called Cash Explosion, the Ohio Lottery's Cash Explosion show.
Oh,
and I hosted that
okay.
for 3 years. And that was really cool. But I actually started on camera hosting when I was like, ooh, there's video of me when I was like, I want to say like 13, 14 years old. And I got these opportunities like you. And this is why I think it's fantastic, because like you, they gave me these opportunities where I would, you know, do what you call like walk and talks, where you're, you know, walking and explaining something, or you say, and coming up next. And I got to do this with local TV stations, WVIZ, and I did it with Channel 5, WEWS. And it's out there. It's out there somewhere in the ether, where I did like different hosting events when I was younger. And so when it comes to radio broadcast, you know, you have your announcer role, and your announcer is different than, say, like your VO artist. Like if you listen to the radio, not to say that they can't do both, but generally radio announcing is a little bit different than it is. And broadcast is a little bit different. Same thing with like television hosting. Or being an anchor person, because your goal as an anchor person is different than as an actor or, you know, or as a spokesperson. And I'll jump into the next thing, which will kind of help. When it comes to voiceover for there's different categories. There's like, I'll say like there's several different categories, but I'll just go, you have commercial, which is usually commercial is promo trailer, you know, so those are, you know, commercial promo trailer. Your normal commercial is something like, you know, play Mega Millions. You're going to win. It's going to be awesome, right? That's a normal commercial. Whereas like your promos, usually, you know, are like on your news channels or something like that. Breaking news coming up live, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Then trailer, which is in a world, one man stands alone, you know, that kind of stuff, you know.
Oh, I love trailer.
So you
voices.
Have commercial promo trailer. And this is all that stuff. Then you have narration audiobooks. Now, narration, which is like e-learning also. So, if you said, hey, this is the all new Toyota Camry, the 2020 Toyota Camry, not only gives you best miles per gallon of any vehicle, it is the top selling vehicle in the last 18 of 19 years in the United States. Like that kind of, well, actually sedan, not vehicle, top selling vehicle in the United States still Ford F-150. But, and I only know that because I used to do automotive promotion.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Spokesperson for automotive. Yeah. I've been lucky with some of these jobs. Now, animation. Everybody wants to do
animation. Yes, I was going to ask about cartoons. Have you done any cartoons?
I have not done any cartoons that you would know. I've been working with animators actually on projects and this is why. Mm-hmm. When I lived in Los Angeles, I have an agent in Los Angeles. My agent sends me stuff all the time. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you continuing to send me things. My agent in Los Angeles will send me things, and I lived in Los Angeles. So animation pretty much takes place in LA.
I figured.
There are some production houses in Texas, but
ooh, yeah,
most of the
I know
animation,
a lot.
Yeah, most of the animation takes place in, so I mean, where do they produce animation? Nickelodeon. Cartoon Network, Disney, Warner Brothers, all of those places are pretty much in Los Angeles. And there's a lot of studios in different places all over LA. So most of your major cartoon production is coming out of Los Angeles. And because of that, it's also cast mostly out of Los Angeles. There are, though, however, other avenues and venues for animation. For example, there is actually an animation production company, a gaming production company too, here in Ohio. You wouldn't know it because they're not, you know, one of the big ones, but if you want to get on Adult Swim, things like that. So when I work with my clients, because I teach classes, I don't like saying teach class, but really I'm just a coach, because I feel like a Sherpa, like a guide. You know, like in the mountains, you know, I'm like this guy, we're going to go that way. Everyone let us travel, you know, that kind of a thing. Because I'm in the same path. I'm on the same boat. It just happens that, I've traveled this path, and all the information I get, I turn around and share to other people. So some of my clients that I work with, they ask me, oh, you know, what can I do animation? And I say, well, are you ready to move to Los Angeles? Do you have an animation demo? Like all of those things are very specific. So animation is a whole different category. We'll talk about that later. Put it away. Then you have audiobooks. And the thing about audiobooks is that audiobooks are is storytelling. And, you know, and it's also a marathon. You can't make, I mean, yes, you are recording, but think about this. If it takes you 15 hours to record a 300-page book, that's a long walk.
Yeah, that's a really long time.
That's a long walk. So you can't make any mistakes. You can't, you know, you can't flub. And you have to be tonally perfect. There's actually a lady who does the Harry Potter books. And she's amazing. And a gentleman that also does Harry Potter books, and he's fantastic. And if you ever listen to any of the Harry Potter books, you're like, wow. Well, they have... You have to be really good at reading, first of all. Like, you have to be an amazing reader. And as you're really good at reading, also being able to speak in such a way that you're not going to, that you're tonally, what I mean by tonally perfect is not exactly, I'm not talking about like pitch, although that is important, but what the statements are in telling the story. You ever hear a bad story? Yes. You've heard a bad story. You ever hear a good story? A good story takes you somewhere and you're like, oh, what's going to happen next? Oh, is that what happened? You know, so yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that like my friends, they always tell me I should do audiobooks. And I actually been thinking about like, I don't know, just recording me reading the Bible for, I don't know, because as practice for myself.
Let me ask you a question. What is your favorite kind of nonfiction?
Nonfiction? I really don't know. I'd rather listen to a book than read them. My patience is very, very small sometimes.
Okay, so what was the last book you listened to?
Last book, I'll say the last book I read and listened to was the Iliad. I didn't finish it though.
Okay. All right. No problem. All right, you didn't finish it, no big deal, right? But here's this classic, you know, Greek tale, right? Greek folktale, right? What's a so if you're listening to a story and you find stories that you like, tell those stories. That's one of the first things I do when I'm working with people, is I say, find a book that you like, a story that you've read that you really enjoy. Because if you find something that you really enjoy that moved you, it will turn around and move someone else when you tell it. So that's where I would start. Find a book that you like and tell us. And it could be a short one. It doesn't have to be, the Iliad is long.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be something epic, you know, like Gilgamesh and Enkidu or, you know, Beowulf. Like, you don't have to go that deep. Actually, I was going to do this for myself, but I'll share it with you now. There's an author named Shel Silverstein, who wrote a book called Where the Sidewalk Ends. And it's like all these different like poems and short stories and whatnot, which are really neat. And that's any place that like is a short story that's like maybe, you know, 10, 15 pages, go with that. Start there, see where it goes.
Yes. I'm actually going to go back just a little bit. If you're just tuning in right now, I'm speaking with Mr. Leilani Barrett, and we have been talking about the voice acting industry and how to get into it. So, and you mentioned earlier about like location is a very important thing in voice acting. And I've watched a lot of convention videos on YouTube with voice actors, and they all say the same thing. If you really want to be in voice acting, you gotta be in Los Angeles, Texas, or I even heard in Canada, it's really big.
Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver, big. Canada. Yeah. Like, I have a lot of voice actors, and I'm an anime person, so I know some of those companies in Texas, like Funimation and Bang Zoom and all.
Yes.
Companies, it, like, you really have to, like, take the time to, like, you really have to pick up your stuff and just move there. Because that, a lot of them won't reach out unless you're really well known.
Well, and it's funny because you, one of the questions you asked me about was like hierarchy in the voice acting industry. And
yeah.
The interesting thing about this, and on my journey, it's no different than any other industry, in the sense that, or performing arts, talent is important. Skill is important. But if you don't have, because if you don't have talent and you don't have skill, it's going to be a challenge for you to do well, right? But I'll put it this way. You do have different tier levels in the sense of like, you know, you have your A-list actors, and then you have, you know, your well-known actors who may not be A-list actor, A-list in the sense. And what I mean by A-list is like, can you think of an A-list actor in Hollywood?
Not one comes to mind quickly.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I was going to say Chadwick.
Right? Chadwick Boseman. Like, now they're making $20 million a movie, mm-hmm. right? Denzel Washington, Scarlett Johansson, like, all these, like, big A-list actors who are, like, huge movie draws, right? And it's like that in voiceover, too. You have mm-hmm. your A-list actors, like, you know, I mean, if you, like, some of the people that I rattled off earlier who've been doing, you know, voice acting for a long time. You know, and then you have people like Gary Anthony Williams or Phil LaMarr or Sean yes. Schimmel or
I love Sean Schimmel. I even actually got in contact with Phil LaMarr too. He responded back to my email. I'm gonna have to ask him if he can do an interview with me as well.
Phil LaMarr is one of the coolest people that I've met probably in show business. He was very kind, very, very kind, very generous. He's super talented, very warm. And as an actor, having had the opportunity to work on different projects, both on film and television, I'm like, oh, I've met some of these different people along the way, and they're incredible. They're, you know, and so anyway, but like, yeah, they're going to be, but a lot of that, some of this has to do with also representation. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm going to get into is representation. Yeah. So here in Northeast Ohio, it's a little harder because if you want to get an animation, you can do commercial promo trailer, you can do e-learning books, you can do audiobooks, things like that. But animation is so difficult because, for example, like there are five different agencies that are the top tier agencies in Los Angeles. Those top tier agencies usually get first listen or first pick. So depending on who you're represented by, that's going to affect who is hearing you and who's hearing you first. There are casting agents for voice acting and voiceover projects, just like there are casting agents for television, film, so on and so forth. And it's the same thing like in any, that's what I mean by any industry. If you're going to go work at a Fortune 500 company, if you want to go work for a law firm, you could work for a big law firm like Jones Day. Which is actually, they have an office here in Cleveland, Jones Day Law Firm. It's one of the biggest law firms in the world. They're global, right? Or if you want to work for a company like Ernst & Young, which is also based here in Ohio. Like, I love, like, just, you know, pulling in those, like, those huge companies that have presence here in Cleveland. But if you're going to work for them, you know, Eaton Corporation, things like that, these are all companies that you have to work your way up in the hierarchy. Now, you know, to the high tier, just like any athletic organization. You have the Dayton Dragons, for example, or the Toledo Mud Hens are farm teams for some of the bigger teams like the New York Yankees or something like that. So there is a way you work your way up, but it has a lot to do with, yes, location, representation, and then and what your skill set is. They like, you know, for example, my voice, I have a bass baritone voice. I have a lot of range. If you listen to my characters and everything, I do have a lot of range, but if they want, say, a deep voice to be, you know, the voice of a goblin king or something like that, then I can be there just naturally. I don't have to work at it. I don't have to do anything. But if they want something more demonic or frightening, you know, and you see, I even do it with my face. It's not just in the voice, because it's also in the body. It's in the, you know, all of, because that's where acting resides, is in all of those places. If you want to create an attitude that's a little bit more posh, or perhaps maybe the word is stuck up, I think so. I'm tilting my nose even doing it, you know, that kind of a thing. That's all. That's what I mean by acting. So, going back to the tier question, yes, there is a tier. There are A-listers and all the way down. As I think about somebody like H. John Benjamin, people who are name actors who you can name already have a higher advantage in the industry because they already have names. They're already represented. They already have names. Not a lot of people know Leilani Barrett, you know, so I'm like getting myself out there, submitting myself. I'm not a household name. But, you know, a lot of people know Tom Kenny, you know. And the funny thing about Tom Kenny, stand-up comedian, sketch actor, you know, did a lot of stuff. People know him for SpongeBob. But here's a guy who's like, this is the other thing, is that a lot of these people that you know all have different careers.
He was a comedian.
Yeah, different things in their careers. The guy who plays, and I love Clancy Brown. He plays
Mr. Krabs.
Right? But the first time I remember seeing him is in a movie called Highlander, where he plays this character called the Kurgan, who's this big, bad mofo with a sword, and he's like chopping people's heads off. And that's the, and I said to my kids when they were younger, I said, okay, this guy is this guy. And they were like, what? And their minds were blown, because here's, you know, Clancy Brown's like, SpongeBob, where's my money? Right? He's doing that. And then if you see him in Highlander, he's like, Highlander, holy ground. And it's a completely different, you know, one side to the other. Not to mention, as Lex Luthor, you know, Superman, you know, he's very, you know, this, because Clancy Brown's an amazing actor. So,
I'm actually just going to mix the last two questions. First, how are you adjusting to the COVID-19 pandemic, and what advice would you give aspiring voice actors and actresses?
Well, okay, two things. The COVID-19 thing is really interesting. So a lot of voice actors, like one, there's a guy I know in LA, he's an amazing guy, just really, really nice guy who's just like extremely talented, by the name of Rick Wasserman. He builds booths. And, so for people who are VO people who have always been like, for example, I built my booth in my home, you have a home studio. It's not really changing your life in that way if you're doing voiceover. It affected my live performing, because I one of the jobs that I had before everything got canceled was being the voice of the Dazzle Awards, which is one of my favorite things to do here in Cleveland.
Yeah, I remember that.
Playhouse Square.
I love
and seeing your talented young people like yourself. Yeah. It, you know, there are jobs that I had that they just disappeared. They went away. I, however, am still submitting myself for voiceover work, some on camera work. And I have, I fortunately was already primed for this time because I have everything that I need. I'm fully produced. Everything I need, I have it here in my studio. So, I have it in my voiceover studio in here, but I also have an editing bay and I have a room that I have specifically dedicated to self-tapes. So traveling was never like a big deal. I do also teach. So teaching from Zoom has been, as you know, just a challenge because human beings are interactive people. So it's been a challenge, but I mean, you know, still working, still trying to get that thing to happen. Now, what advice would I have? And we've kind of touched on
quite a bit
already. But I mean, there are certain things that you need when you want to go into as an actor. There are certain things that I would tell people to do. If you've never acted before, take a class, practicing, learning the skills and the training that goes along in acting. A lot of times, like I said, it's not the sound of the voice, but the attitude behind it. If you say to somebody or the intention underneath it, one of the activities that I do with people, for example, do this with me, actually, I want you to furrow your eyebrows like this, right? And I want you to make a major frown like this, right? And tense every muscle in your face. And then I want you to say, I'm happy.
I'm happy.
I'm happy.
I'm happy.
Right?
That's hard.
You don't sound happy, do you?
Yeah.
No. Right?
It sounds cringy,
now I want you
actually.
To smile your biggest smile. I want you to smile your biggest smile. And I want you to say, I'm angry.
I'm angry.
I'm angry.
I'm angry.
So it's hard to be angry when you're smiling a true, big, sincere smile. All, you know, that, and that's just a simple exercise that you can do because when you're, there are a lot of acting tips that you'll learn if you take a class. You take a class and you figure that out. There are certain things like mic technique, which, you know, I've bumped into this a couple of different times, but the microphone is actually about this far away from me. And it's got, and for the sweet spot, that's where you want to be. Usually about a fist and a thumb, or just for this particular microphone, and because of the way I have it, mm-hmm. you know, the gain and everything, you know, for it, I actually have it in the optimal place for me. And if I got this much closer to it, if I get any louder, you'll hear it and it'll blow out the mic. So learning microphone technique, that's where classes and things like that come in handy. Also reading. Read every day, practice every day, like what you do all the time. Just practice all the time. It's great. It's awesome. Practice every day. I get in a microphone and I practice every day. And it's not just like just your normal voice and your normal voice with a different attitude. And you'll see, you'll hear it. You'll go, you know, if you say even simple things like, could you close the door? Or you can say, could you close the door? You know, and then it takes out a whole different meaning as, could you close the door? Could you close the door? You know, it's a completely different, oh my God, you know, as opposed to like, you know, you're frightened or you're angry or you're, you know, intense, intensely smoldering. All of that, like, you know, it'll come out of classes. You'll learn that in the different kinds of like, and that's literally tip of the iceberg, scratching the surface of, you know, some simple acting techniques. After you take some classes, the thing that you need as a voice performer is a demo. And your demo is your audio handshake. It is the way that the producer, the casting director, or the creative person behind the project can hear your voice and know what it is and know what it does. So I produce demos for actors because I go out to Los Angeles, I go back and forth, and I take classes and I train with people out there who are like, you know, really at the top of the game, and I stay in touch with them because everything that I learn from them, not everybody can fly out to Los Angeles and come back and forth. Although Zoom is making things better, you still need that one-to-one connection. You still need to be, you know, with someone and bouncing off of them because there's a lag right now between you and me, you know.
Tell.
Exactly.
It's
harder. Like you, I said it. It flew into space, flew back down from space, and then, you know, came over to you and boom. And then you're like, oh, okay. So, you know, it had to fly 20,000 miles both directions before it got to you. So one-to-one coaching is really important. So that's why you want to take classes. Also, improv. Take improv classes. Improv classes are fantastic because they help give you the skills to be able to think spontaneously and respond spontaneously and to listen. And listening is such a huge skill when you're taking direction. So that's where I would start. If you've never had any experience whatsoever, that's where I would start. Taking acting classes, taking improv classes, taking voiceover classes. That's where I would start. Then after you've taken classes, you've performed and you've done these different things, you know, start talking to a producer about making a demo that really, you know, showcases your abilities. And then after that, after you get all that stuff, then you're going to talk about getting an agent representation, but also talk to people. I really think that if you talk to people and you say, hey, this is what I want to do, because the one thing that we didn't really talk about and I realized that we didn't touch on was network. Your network, who you network with, who you talk to, who you get information from is so important. And those are the people in your network that you want to say, hey, I want to do this. You got a job for me? I'll do it. You know, especially when you're starting out, you're going to do a lot of stuff for free. Everybody wants to get paid right away, and I get it, right? I want to get paid. I got rent. I got bills. But when I started out in the industry, I either got paid squadoosh or like like gas money. It was like gas money for my parents or chicken wings. Here, have a sandwich, kid. Shut up and go do me, you know, my thing. Yeah, that's how it started, okay? But then after a while, you know, as I got more experience and more it's true. Thanks for coming. Here's some chips. I'm thinking about a job that I did when I was a kid. It was literally like, here's a sandwich. I hope you enjoyed your time. No, don't worry about us. Don't call us. We'll call you. Everything will be fine. Listen, it's going to be great. Okay, tremendous.
Oh, no. Right?
So that's where you'll start. You'll start doing jobs where you're not making nothing. Okay. But then as you continue to grow and you continue to become more, develop a process, because that's the other thing. Some of the people that I have worked with, studied with, and are friends with, they have their process down, that they're not figuring out anything. That takes time. That has to be developed. And that also is why you want to take some classes. So that's the first thing. After that, once you've like tackled that, it takes a while, you know, training, network, representation, and then, you know, I'm still swinging. I come every day and I just get together and I go, you know, this is, I'm gonna swing it out of the park. I gotta do it, you know, Ma. You don't understand. I need you to understand, Ma. I gotta do this. All right, okay. You know, every morning I wake up and I go to my microphone and I'm all like, hey, yo, Father, can you do one of them El Merry? You know what I'm saying? You know, brother, hey, you know what I'm saying? Send one up to the angels every day. So, I mean, that's why, you know, it's tough. It's also the other thing that I would tell everyone is if you're focused on money, forget it. Forget it. Money, I actually had a mentor of mine tell me this a long time ago, which was do the work, the money will follow. But don't worry about the money. Not saying don't undervalue yourself. Always understand your value, but do the work and the money will follow. But if you're like, oh, I want to do this because I want to make money. I want to be rich. Well, good luck. Because the percentage doesn't work out that way. I haven't met
a voice actor who doesn't talk about their secondary jobs just needed to pay the bills or that extra money helps out, but I love doing my job.
Yes. Yeah. You have to, you know, there's only a handful of people who can make a living solely from doing voiceover. The market has shifted. Things have changed than they were years ago, but there's only a handful of people really that can make that kind of money. And, I mean, you can make a really good living, but if you're focused on money, whatever it is, whatever job you're going for, if you're focused on money, it's not going to be the thing that's going to sustain you, because I keep doing this after almost 40 years of, I keep doing this though, because I have a passion for it. I have a drive to do it and I won't give up. And the beautiful thing about voiceover and voice acting is this, as long as I have this, I can keep going till I'm, you know, 100 years old. And even then, when I'm 100 years old, I say, listen to me, you little whippersnapper. I'm 100 years old. Right? Even when I'm 100, okay, I'm going to keep going because I just, you know, going back to gargoyles, there is a phrase in it that I have actually adopted to myself, which is I can no more stop doing this than I could stop breathing the air. That's how important it is to me. That's why I haven't stopped. That's why I can't give up. Because to me, if I stopped, I wouldn't be alive. So you have to have that in you. You have to have that fire that keeps you going, because you're going to get 1,000 rejections and one yes. So if you can't stand the 999 times of trying, forget it.
Well, on that note, we're going to end it there. Thanks for the very, very lengthy and detailed explanations for each question. But I loved it.
I try to keep
it. I loved it all. It was so nice to meet you. Thank you all for listening, for tuning in. This is Mr. Leilani Barrett, a voice actor in around the Cleveland area, Cleveland, Ohio, and many more. I think I saw your profile. I think you've done some work in Pennsylvania as well.
I'm based in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, mm-hmm. but I have lived in Los Angeles, New York, and I still have representation in Los Angeles, but I have worked on films and television projects in Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan, Los Angeles, New York. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm only looking to expand even after this.
Yes, yes. And make sure to check him out on Instagram. Honestly, I typed in his name. There he was. Popped up first on the first suggestion. Yep, Leilani Barrett. give him a listen. Thank you again for doing this interview with me, and we'll see you next time.